Welcome to The Convo. I am your host, Lakeisha Mosley. I'm a mom, a blogger, a brand influencer, and the event producer of my own event management company called The LM Experience. On The Convo, you'll hear conversations with some of the most profound entrepreneurs from all over the world as they share with us their wins and their losses. They'll also share tips and tricks with you that will help you be successful along this journey called entrepreneurship. Let's get started with the show. This episode is sponsored by The LM Experience. COVID-19 has really wrecked the event industry, as well as it has affected businesses and companies that normally have in-person events. But I have a solution for you. It's called virtual events. And I know you've already heard about them, but you may be wondering if it's something that you should do. Well, I have a gift for you. I have a checklist of 8 things that you should consider before you plan your next virtual event. It's really easy to get. Just visit bit.ly/VECKLIST. Again, that's bit.ly/VECKLIST. Tatiana Dorsey graduated from North Carolina A&T in 2011 with a Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology. She later completed her Master of Science degree in Human Resource Management, graduated from Nova Southeastern University. She's currently residing in the Greater Atlanta area, and she is a diversity and inclusion leader in the consumer goods industry. She continues her commitment of serving her community within her ownership and operation of the Ladybugs, which is a 501c3 mentoring organization with a mission to build, uplift, and guide our sisters. Personally, she's married to her college sweetheart, Donald Dorsey. The two are proud parents of a very active toddler, Dylan Blake, and a fur baby called Bella. Hey, Tatiana, thanks so much for joining me today on Convo with Keisha. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited to chat with you. So for the listeners, Tatiana is another huge HBCU alum, and I am loving the conversations that I have been having with my friends. Although I did not go to an HBCU, I still just love how you all just talk and how you share your experiences. Like, I feel like I went to one. Like, I feel like I was there. So I want you to start by telling the listeners a little bit about you, and then we'll just start talking about everything else.
Sure. So I'm Tatiana Dorsey. I currently reside in the Greater Atlanta suburb area. I am a diversity and inclusion professional. And by day, by night, and 24 hours, and just my general passion is to lead my 501c3 nonprofit organization called the Ladybugs. And we are a platform that works to uplift and elevate the voices of Black women. So we're actually starting a few new ventures. We have in the past done a lot of things that have targeted adolescent girls in the past. Minority-based adolescent girls, but now we're trying to expand that platform and really just focus on Black women in its entirety from start to finish. So that's me professionally. Personally, I am a mom of a very active toddler. His name is Dylan Blake. He keeps me on my toes, so I apologize in advance if there's any feedback. I have asked that my husband please keep him downstairs during this time, because he would just come and like bang on the door and be like, Ma, in the middle of the session. And I'm a wife, sister, daughter, and I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, Spring 2009.
Hey. All right. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. Like, we listen, Dylan is like, listen, mom, hey, I got something to say and I don't want to wait. So, I mean, I'm just going to just come and talk, because we need to talk right now. Don't get me wrong. I have grown kids, 22 and 24. Okay. And they still bust in the room. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, you think when they get older, it makes a difference? But it doesn't. They still just want their time. So, and you know what? I say I won't complain, because I know some parents who kids won't even talk to them. So yeah. I'm just glad that they still feel that way about mom. So, you know, sometimes I'm like, get out. Get out. But most times I'm like, okay, this is cool. So I love, love, love all that you're doing, especially your 501c3. I really love empowering and uplifting women, and any organizations that do that are like gold star in my book. It's just so much going on, and the world already craps on us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we get it so hard as it is. And then when you find organizations like yours that really work on mentoring and building and guiding, you know, our sisters, I think it's just great. I think that's totally great.
Thank you.
And then you married your college sweetheart. Like, tell me, what is it about these HBCU love? Like, like, y'all meet at the HBCU and y'all just connected for life.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about going to A&T is we are really like a family. Right. So it's funny because, like, I've told a lot of other people that I've interviewed with, it's this really kind of euphoric feeling where it's kind of hard to put into words, so bear with me, but it is this like huge nostalgia that you get when you're on campus. But it's, we have this saying, like, Aggie pride is nationwide. It's actually really worldwide.
Right.
I love going to the airport, for example, anywhere that I'm flying to, and I wear Aggienalia, and I always bump into an Aggie. And the best part about that is when I bump into this Aggie, I don't even know who they are, don't know their class year, but we're running up to each other and, you know, before COVID, hugging each other and, oh my God, what year did you graduate? And where did you, what dorm did you stay in? What did you study? Do you know so-and-so? Right. And it's just like you're meeting a distant cousin or aunt or, and that's the same thing. I could be in the grocery store, or it's happened to me at the gas station and people are looking at us like, like, we're crazy just running. And the funny thing is we always, like, yell out, like, can I get an Aggie pride to the next person
right
on the other side of the gas area? And you, as a true Aggie, you always respond. So people looking at us like, you know, are y'all crazy? And, you know, we're running up to each other like you literally just saw a cousin or aunt at the gas station. And it's awesome. So, you know, that's something that we have with everybody there. But I was lucky enough to meet my husband. It was the one time that I actually went to the library to study, because our dorms, when I attended, at least had these really nice kind of study hall rooms. I would always study in my dorm. But the one time, we always kind of laughed, like, man, what would have happened if we didn't go to the library that day?
Right.
I ran into this guy who ended up being my husband. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, just this, my attendance there, not only did I get him, but I have so many sisters, so many brothers, so many friends, you know, that are my lifelong family. When one of us wins, we all win. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. So, you know, it's really like a beautiful thing.
It is really, that's really, really beautiful to hear. I've previously talked to Nakia and Ali and talked to Stephanie and Jabari, all alumni, you know, of A&T. And you can just hear the pride oozing. And one thing I love about you all is that it's about not just your biological family, but it's about your A&T Aggie family as well. Yeah. It's about helping others, you know, just get where they need to be. Like, you all take on this responsibility of, yeah, it's my job too, to reach back and help the next person, or to be a part of the next person's journey. I love that.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that. So let's talk about what influenced your decision in choosing North Carolina A&T.
So I am a huge fan of A Different World. just to kind of, you know, pay homage to the television show that put, you know, Black college life into our lives on a regular basis and showed, you know, the beauty in attending and the tradition. So, you know, everyone is a Hillman grad, you know, in my opinion. And for us, you know, A&T was my Hillman, and I knew I wanted to attend a HBCU. So I was looking at Howard, and I was looking at A&T, and my grandparents, which is really funny because I was probably, well, out of all the people that you're talking to, I might be one of the few that didn't grow up going to like homecoming at A&T and growing up like attending the campus or being around, although I have a lot of family members that attended the university. Uh-huh. I didn't grow up kind of like knowing and understanding the legacy and the tradition of A&T until I was like a junior in college. And it wasn't until I started looking, I'm sorry, junior high school. And it wasn't until I started looking into college that my grandparents, on my mother's side, was like, yeah, you should go to A&T. My grandmother's like, you should stay in my dorm, Holland Hall, this room. And she's like bringing out pictures of like her on campus. And my grandfather whips out his wallet and he still has his student ID. And I'm like, wait, like, you know, they didn't finish. They stopped going to school, got married and uh-huh. started their lives. But just the pride, like you mentioned, was oozing out of the conversation with them. And, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a try. And I went and visited with a friend. I'm like, you know, okay, this is close enough to home. And, uh-huh. You know, I think I can feel a fit here. And for me, in my chapter in our book, it really talks about how I've always kind of just searched for this place of belonging. My entire life, I have always moved around. Every time I would get comfortable in a place and establish core relationships with people, it was always time for me to pack up and move again and start all over. So I never really kind of had this foundation or this sense of home, if uh-huh. you will. And I was hoping that my college experience would give me that. And A&T gave me that plus more.
Wow. That's like super, super awesome. I love hearing that. I didn't attend an HBCU. I started at one. I started at Southern University in Baton Rouge. And then I got pregnant with my daughter. And so my mom was like, you coming home. Like, no. You know, Black Southern mamas don't play that. You come to the house. And so, but she was determined for me to finish. And so, of course, Southern was out of the question after, you know, my daughter got, you know, a few months old. She was like, you can go back to Southern, but she not going. She not going. And so I was like, okay, there's still some really good schools here I can go to. And so I wound up going to Northwestern State University and completing, you know, my degree there. But it wasn't really until, you know, like really a few years ago that I felt like lost so much. Like I really missed out on experience from talking with different people who did attend HBCUs. And I had Nakia and Ali laughing because I was like, yeah, my friend, he invited me to his homecoming at Prairie View. And it was like a freaking event. I was not ready. I was not prepared.
The whole production. And let me be very clear. Let me go on the record and say, you haven't experienced the homecoming until you come to GHO, the greatest homecoming on earth at North Carolina A&T.
That's what they told me. They have already invited me post-COVID. They were like, you gotta come.
Yeah, it's a totally different vibe. My husband is from Baton Rouge, so mm-hmm. all of his family went to Southern, and I will say this, they have better food than us, in my opinion. Don't beat me up, Aggies. It was something about going, you know, you know, gumbo and crawfish and jumbo. It's a totally different thing, right? So, but the party and the atmosphere and the vibe and the love, I'm a little biased and partial because, you know, when you step foot on campus, it's like a huge family reunion. You can't walk from one location on campus to the other without at least seeing 5 to 10 people that are like running up to you like, oh my God, hey. And what's really funny, there's so many of us that you probably even walk away kind of scratching your head going, I don't even remember who that person was, but it was so good to see them.
Right.
But, you know, and then it's just, it's a vibe. It is an entire vibe. 1 year we went back and it rained the whole time. And you would assume that nobody would be on campus, but no, right. We're sitting there soaking in our socks. And, you know, I just had to find a hair tie and, you know, pull it back. And we're standing there, you know, find a hat or something. And literally until it was time for security to tell everybody it's time to leave. So it's just insane.
Wow. That's like super, super cool. And I can say, although I feel like I got a really good education, that I'm actually not really using those degrees. You know, you use some parts of it, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't recall a homecoming. I don't think I even went, sis, to be honest. Like, I just wasn't interested. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't recall moments. Like, I hear you all talk, and it's, you know, when I hear how Stephanie and Jabari met, and I hear about how Nikki and Ali met, like, it's so funny because those memories, even though they're years later, they're so vivid. Like, y'all paint the picture, like, you can really see it. And I was telling them, I'm like, I don't have memories like that. Like, I don't have memories like that. Like, I'm jealous because I'm just like, I remember going to school and I remember going out. Like, I didn't want to get to know anybody, really, because most of them didn't look like me.
Understood.
I just went to school and came back. But I just really, really love how you all do that. So what did you enjoy most about attending an HBCU? If that's, even if you can even narrow that down, Tatiana, I mean, you know, honestly.
Don't get it wrong. It was very difficult. So, like, you know, there were times where, you know, there were tears trying to get through our degrees and our majors and, you know, tests and having to go find teachers during their office hours to try to figure out what you can do to, you know, get this grade. And, you know, but I think that's the benefit for me is, you know, it was never, my teachers were never hard to find. They always made time for me, and it was just this, it was this nurturing environment. So if I had to like boil it all down to one, I would say that that's the best part, right? So I know for a fact, I'm attending these classes, they are tough, but I'm going to go, I literally could walk into the chairperson of my department's office. His door was always open, Dr. Robinson. And I remember, so I started off a completely different major, and he was the reason why I changed my major to psychology. Because I literally felt this comfort with him. It was like talking to my dad or an uncle. Like, you know, he made me feel like I could do anything by the time I left his office.
Yeah.
So I just think that, you know, that type of just consistency, because I've attended predominantly white institutions as well for graduate level degrees.
Right.
And it's just not the same feeling for me. I can't speak to everybody else's experiences, but for me, I didn't have that, you know, let me go find my chairperson. Let me explain to them how I'm feeling. Let me get their advice. And it would be anything from like class advice to I just need to talk to somebody. Let me go find this teacher who I know is going to sit down and listen to me. And you know what? On my way there, let me shoot her an email and see if she wants me to bring her some cookout or, you know, something like, you know, just being able to kind of have that feeling. And then that not only trickles down from your support system there, but it trickles down to your family establishment, right? So
right.
You just have a huge network of people that are rooting for you because you're a part of the Aggie family, right? So, and that still goes on today. Like, I have so many A&T friends on Facebook or Instagram, and we don't talk, like, we don't text and we don't talk on the phone, but I'm rooting for them, they're rooting for me. And when we see each other on campus, we're like, oh my God, like, yes. I did this. And yeah, it's just like, it's just this beautiful feeling. It's like I've been telling everybody that I've been connecting with, it's our Wakanda. It's
right.
Our, like, you know, utopic, just like our sense of magic that is really hard to kind of, you can't duplicate it. It is literally just like untouchable.
Oh my gosh. Like, that's just so beautiful to hear. Like, folks rooting for folks, not for any other reason, just because, just GP.
Just because.
Like, we breathe the same collegiate air. That's why.
Exactly. It goes beyond that, right? So, like, it doesn't stop at graduation. Like, you know, we are genuinely rooting for each other in all stages. So Tariq Cohen, for example, he just signed this deal, I think like 17.2, don't quote me, $1 million deal. And he graduated from A&T. He came out after me. Uh-huh. I don't talk to him personally, right? But like when we saw that come through the news, we were like, oh my God, that's amazing. Everybody's texting each other. You saw what happened for Tariq. That's awesome. Like, you know, he so deserves this. We don't know him personally, but, you know, because he went to our school, he's family, right? And we're going to root for him. We're going to, you know, anytime that there's something that we can do to celebrate him. I think draft night, like, we were all taking shots and having draft parties just because we knew that he was going to go. And, you know, that's just how we are. If somebody's launching a new business or if there's anything that we can do to kind of support, we just lost an Aggie, unfortunately, a couple weeks ago. And that wrecked everybody because that was like losing a family member. So it's really, it is just amazing. And I went to University of Miami after undergrad, and I went to Nova Southeastern University and to complete my master's degree, and it just not even close.
Right.
Not even close. And I don't even want to say it's because you know, I was in grad school. It was just not even close. Cause I can tell you so many people that I knew that were at A&T for grad that became lifelong friends and family with us as well. It's just immeasurable. It's awesome.
Yeah. And it seems that way. You know, I noticed, like I said, a part of alumni for my school, but I don't do much. Like, I do my part as far as what I'm supposed to do, but there's like nothing in that beyond, okay, there's this responsibility of giving back because you went to this school, but there's no like, oh, let me go hang out. Let me go see what's up. Let me, you know, blah, blah, blah. If someone says that they went to Northwestern, I'm like, oh, okay. I may not even ask what year. Like, and I know that may sound awful. Like, listeners, y'all know your girl. You know your girl, how I get down, very transparent. But yeah. I might not even ask, like, what year your major, like, none of that. It's like, oh, okay, you went to Northwestern. Like, I'm not even concerned about it beyond, you know, anything like that. So I love, love, love how it doesn't stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't stop once you get that degree. It doesn't stop once you leave the campus. It just keeps going, you know? Like, it just goes on and on. So I love that. Like, yeah. I love how y'all just, you know, hang with each other. And how y'all let a sister in who ain't even go there. You know what I'm saying?
You family now too. You can come to homecoming and find us, and we gonna make sure you have a fish plate. We gonna make sure you have, you know, Hennessy, Crown, whatever it is, your drink.
Yes.
And you let us know, and we will make sure that you are, you know, well taken care of. You will definitely feel like family when you join us.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I feel like already, and so I already told, you know, the two couples, like, I'm down. Don't even play, because I'm coming. I'm like, I'm coming. Now, you got to prepare your girl because she ain't used to. But it was like, I went for that one day. And it was so much just going on. Like, it was just so much going on. But it was so much fun. And it was a great, great, great thing. I was wore out. I had to go take like 4 naps. Okay. I wasn't ready.
You need at least, we always say when you go to GHO, you cannot go back to work that Monday. Like, you have to factor in your recovery time because you're spent, you're exhausted. Because first of all, the older we get, the harder it is for us to party and pregame like we used to. So you got to, you know, get back into the swing of things. You're really testing your liver the entire time. But yeah, it's awesome. There's times where I'm sure that the school is regulating this now, but I remember a few years back, we're just outside on the yard. As soon as the sun sets, somebody's shooting off fireworks. And we're like, wow, like, where did this even come from?
Yeah.
You have a DJ over here. It's just love. It's just all love. Right. And we're so sad that COVID has messed that up for us this year. But I'm pretty sure we'll figure out a way to still virtually and in our own little regions do something for ourselves, because it's a moment and we can't ever let that moment just pass by. And when you don't go, because there have been years where I couldn't make it, you are like depressed that whole weekend. Right. You gotta put on social media. You tell yourself, I think I didn't go the year I was getting married. And I was like, nah, I'm gonna save that money, you know, put it towards the wedding.
Right.
The whole time I'm at home, like almost in tears, like, I can't believe I didn't go. Like, everybody's having all this fun and I didn't go. And just, you know, you're like depressed until it's over. And then
I can only imagine, like, oh my gosh, to miss out. You know, when you're used to that whole camaraderie, like, you just used to doing that. Yeah. Like, that's so crazy to miss it, like, for any reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely feel, you know, your pain. So let's talk about post-grad. You know, I can hear from you and all of the other people that I talk to that it doesn't stop when you leave the campuses of A&T. So share a little bit about how you feel your experiences after you left school have definitely contributed to your life or impacted you.
Yeah, absolutely. So there were so many life lessons for me personally at A&T from, like I said, the lessons and the conversations that I had with my professors, the lessons that I've learned with my sorority sisters and my prophites. You know, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't really know how to, like, you know, approach an interview or how to just go full throttle in terms of putting myself into something, but balancing my time and, you know, not really having time to make excuses about doing things, just kind of having this, like, get it done. I don't want to curse on your podcast, but this, you know, get ish done mentality.
It's real. We real over here.
Yeah. Like,
you say shit. You can say that.
Yes. This get shit done mentality of just go out and do it. Like, there's no time. Like, if you even sit here and come up with an excuse as to why it can't happen, you wasting time, right? That has impacted me a lot in my professional life, because I show up as this professional, but I also have this kind of aggressive mindset and ambition of, you know, it's cool, I got it, hand it to me, I'm gonna get it done, that type of thing. And that has kind of, you know, helped me. It's helped me in my career. It's helped me grow. It's helped me elevate my role. And it's really put me in position and put me at tables that I wouldn't really have been in without those lessons, if that makes sense.
Right.
And beyond that, it's helped me be very straightforward and very aggressive about, you know, having things in place that allowed me to also give back to people that were in the same position as me. So that is where my 501c3 came from, because it offered a community service to our local area, which I established right around the kind of the center of A&T. Exactly. So local elementary schools and recreational centers, we had about 11, I think, in total at our highest peak. But at the same time, I had it where Aggies were matriculating through my program to get community service and to get professional development. And
that's cool.
And, you know, so really it was kind of carried on because of the Aggies that kind of joined in and helped. We have since then, prior to COVID, which was really a blessing for us, we stopped with our after school programs because I don't live locally and it just became very difficult to manage. And we were saying, you know, it's time to switch and do a digital platform. Right. Let's expand our reach. And then COVID happened. We were like, so glad we were doing this, because we would have to be switching gears now anyway. So
exactly.
Yeah, but just professionally and personally, you know, I knew I had to get up, go to class. I had to make these grades. I needed to work. I needed to make money. So all of those lessons in school taught me that, you know, you can do it. You just got to put a plan together. There's no excuse as to why you can't accomplish whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. So,
exactly. And COVID has definitely made us all pivot. I had to definitely pivot my business as being an event planner. And so I had to pivot, but not only myself, but my clients as well. It was like, no, we can't do that in person now. We got to do it this way. And they're like, what? How? Right. You know, how are we gonna make this happen? So it was good that you were already like in that space of virtual to where now it wasn't, you know, it was just a little bit easier. Not that it's, well, not that it's easier. It's just a little bit, you know, more safer.
Yes.
To be that way. But, you know, I'll be glad when the world opens back up. I'm not rushing it. I was already like a recluse as it was, girl. Like, people are like, oh no, you're an extrovert. Yeah, I may seem like that, but my idea of a favorite evening is at home watching ratchet TV with a nice bottle of wine and some popcorn. Okay.
That is me. You can be in the middle.
Yeah, I'm like,
I think it's called ambivert or something like
that. Yeah, I'm like, we don't have to always, you know, like be doing stuff. You know, sometimes when you are an extrovert, you go so much that you don't know how to be still.
Exactly. And I think for people like you and myself who are in that same type of like style, we also kind of thrive on that recharge.
Because
for me, I go. I'm always talking to someone. I'm always, especially at work, I'm always on a call. But then when I turn it off, I turn it off. Like in the same way, I'm pouring a glass of wine. I'm grabbing a blanket. You know, these colder months is my cup of tea. I like to light the fireplace and I can sit and binge watch Netflix or watch a movie and just be chilling. Like that's the best part for me.
And that's what I love about, you know, that as well, especially, you know, I just entered full-time entrepreneurship. And so it's like, it's so refreshing. My best friend sent me a meme the other day that said, we're going to stop saying it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's 2020. It is always 5 o'clock. I was like, girl, if you ain't told the truth with that, that is so true. Like, oh my gosh, 2020 has been, it's been a blessing and a curse in some, you know, in some ways. It's really pushed some people I know, including myself, outside of the box.
Yeah.
I don't know if the world was normal had I had the faith and the guts to step out and say, look, I'm done with this job. Let me do my own thing. Like, I don't know if I would have been able to do that. And plus, it's put me in touch with so many great people like yourself and others, you know, that if I was just still working that full-time job or if things were normal, like, would I have been in that space?
Right.
You know, to be able to do that. So I see it as, you know, a total blessing.
Right.
Just take it for what it is. So you have this beautiful career, like, oh my gosh, I love what you do. Especially now, diversity and inclusion is something that is just hot. People are really, I know, leaning on you for a lot of different things. Some people just need to be educated about things that, you know, are going on. So when you think about your career, you know, what's one thing you wish you had known before you began it?
Oh man, that's a good question. You know, I started my career in human resources. Mm-hmm. I finished my master's in HR. And for me, that's one regret that I had. I didn't do like an internship, and I was always working, but I just didn't do an internship because I had a different track in mind after I graduated that kind of shifted to plan B, and plan B ended up being the right plan for me. So for me, I wish that probably would have been what I would have wished that I would have known, right? So like, what could I have done to kind of better position myself from a career standpoint? Even though I was going towards plan A, maybe I could have thought a little bit differently and did plan B and then started an internship well in advance of me going to grad school and just kind of having an idea, because for my field, HR, it's very diverse. There's not like this kind of one thing that we focus on. There's so many different branches and different functions, if you will, within human resources. And I don't like all of them, just to be very honest. So it took me I won't say a while, because I think I'm still doing well, and I was able to kind of position myself accordingly. And as soon as I found something that I love, I was always that person that was like, nope, give it to me, I'll do it. Give it to me, I'll do it. And it became recognizable for me to be the go-to person, that when a spot opened up for this to become a role, I was always the one that was first considered. So I just wish that I would have given myself a little bit more cushion to have a better understanding of what I liked about my field versus what I didn't like, if I were to have gone back and do it again. But I don't think that it was a bad transition, because so grad school taught me what I did like and what I didn't like. And I took a role that got my foot in the door in HR. And then, like I said, I was always that person that was volunteering for stretch assignments, because that's how you keep your name known, especially as people, you know, for the decision makers and the leaders of the organization. But then it also just kind of let me know, like, I actually don't like this at all. Like, I don't want to do this. I'm going to do this. And when, like I said, when I found something, it became like, I love this. This is what I'll do in my spare time. This is what I'm happy to do after I put my son to bed. If I want to get back online, it doesn't feel strenuous. It doesn't feel like a heavy lift for me, because it's something that I'm passionate about.
Right. Oh my gosh. Like, you just said so much. You dropped so many nuggets, especially when it comes to like careers and things we don't think about beforehand. So like for myself, my degree, one of my bachelor's is in criminal justice. And so it's like, okay, well, what the hell are you going to do with that? And then I was like, okay, well, let me go back. And then I did HR, and then I wound up in grocery retail. So it's like, okay, what did you do? Now you got like over $41,000 in student loans. You're like, okay, what is we going to do with all that now? You know, it's like, you just wonder what it is. But it's so great that like your experiences allow you to help build on everything. Like you say, you stay visible. You stay active. And I think that's what really makes the difference in any space that you're in. I think it just really makes a huge difference.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And the beauty about that is I get to always say like, hey, you know, we need to be at HBCUs recruiting for internships and, you know, giving opportunities. And I like working in the tech industry. So I've actually, until just recently, spent most of my time post-undergrad working in the technology organizations. And because A&T is the leading HBCU in STEM, I have always been like, hey, yeah, we need to have a diversity pipeline. We need to be at A&T. And, you know, keep that going. A colleague of mine actually kind of kicked that off for us. And I was like, hey, I'm an alumna of the university. And he's like, bet, let's go. We're going to recruiting. And after he left, it was something that I was very passionate about continuing, because I just felt like it's something that needed to be done. They, at the time, my organization wasn't recruiting at historically Black colleges and universities. So I wanted to make sure that A&T had that opportunity and that it continued.
Yeah, and I love how at this time that is so important for us to, in for lack of better words, put our own folks on. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love the fact that some of us are in positions to be able to do that. Right. And why not? Like, why not?
Right.
Yeah, I so love that. So let's talk about some people who have been like very influential in your life. Like, I know you talked about a couple of professors, but you know, who else do you feel like that have really, really made a huge impact in your life?
Yeah, you know, outside of family, of course, I would say I have some mentors that I would love to kind of recognize. And what's really funny is, I'll tell you this quick story. So I worked for IBM at one point, and after undergrad, of course. Mm-hmm. And as I was working for IBM, I was a third party resource for another company. So I actually sat 100% on site for this company. And when it came for like developmental opportunities or networking opportunities, as it was based out of IBM, you had to accomplish like 40 hours a year to make sure that you were keeping up with like your learning and development. So I would go to the IBM office to do developmental things and attend workshops and stuff like that. And, and that visibility for me has always been important. So I stayed after a workshop one day just to go and introduce myself to the HR lead of the session. She was a Black lady. And I was like, you know, I would love to talk to her and, you know, just kind of get some insight, because at that point I was thinking, I'm always kind of thinking about what my next move is going to be.
Right.
Like, you know, let me find someone internal that I can chat with that, you know, hopefully she would be interested in, you know, hearing what I have to say. Right. Met her. She turned out to be an Aggie. And
oh my God.
She was an Aggie and a Soror. She wasn't Alpha Mu, but she crossed grad chapter, but she was an Aggie. And immediately when she found out that I went to A&T, she's like, oh, say no more. You're my new mentee. And like, we to this day, I don't make a move with a career move, and sometimes too, like a mom move, right, without calling her and just being like, hey, I need to run this past you. I don't really know if I should take this role, or I don't know if I should be thinking about this some, you know, differently. And she always makes time for me, regardless of anything that she has going on. And I just think that that just further proves the beauty of this relationship that we have through this network, right? So she's completely influential in my life. And then, you know, I just kind of feel like as you have your circle, you should never be the smartest one in your group, or you should never have the same people in your group that do the same thing as you, that always have the same opinions as you. So, you know, I'm really blessed to have friends from A&T, line sisters from A&T, of course, that, you know, challenge my thought process on things sometimes. And they go, you know, that's great that you're thinking about it, but what about this? So that there, and I think people fail to realize there's so much diversity at HBCUs, even though we're all Black, right? For the most part, there's, you know, minority students there as well, but the majority of course is Black, but we're Blacks from all different parts of the world and different parts of the US, and we have these different upbringings, and we all kind of have these different positions on things. We don't all think the same. We don't all do the same things. So, you know, I would say that they're a huge influence in my life as well. There's a lot of decisions that I look to make, and I'm calling my line sisters, or I'm calling my classmates and my friends and going, hey, let me run this past you. And, you know, what do you think? Just kind of, it is more than just checking myself. It's for me to kind of open myself up to other positions of thought, because I don't always feel like I have all the answers.
Exactly. And I love how you said that, you know, your friend atmosphere, the space that you move about in, needs to be diverse. And that's so, so true. Like, why do you want to only talk to people that do the same thing you do and that talk the way you talk? Like, there's no fun in any of that. I feel like we miss out on so much when we do that. Like, most of my friends, we're all in different industries. My best friend is not even an entrepreneur. I mean, but she's higher up in the HR world. And so there are things that she goes through that I may not necessarily understand anymore because I'm out of that world now. But then there are things that, you know, she may not understand as an entrepreneur. Like when she wants to go hang out, sometimes I can't, you know, I got work to do. I can't do that. And so it just makes it a lot better because I draw strength from her and some of my other friends that are in different industries than me. And then they draw strength, you know, in things from me. Like one of my friends now, for the first time since the pandemic happened, she's like, okay, well, I'm going to do this virtual event. Like, I've been hearing you preach about it so much, I'm just going to go and do it. I never would have done it if you hadn't really been talking about it. But it also challenged me because it's like, oh, this is a different, you know, realm. I never thought we could possibly do like this really live interactive book tour, but it just pushes me outside the box to do new things because now she's doing a new thing. So I love how you said that. Like, that is so important to have, you know, a whole different sphere of friends where we not only love and support, but we complement each other because we all do something different.
Right, exactly. And I just feel like if your circle is all doing the same thing, then you need to expand your circle.
You need to, yes, you need to do something a lot different. Totally. You need to do something different. So tell us, what's next for you?
So I am well underway in my diversity and inclusion career. I am really enjoying this work. So, you know, it takes something that I'm passionate about and providing, you know, inclusive workspaces for people to really come and thrive in their environment and have these safe spaces. Outside of that, my nonprofit, as I mentioned before, we are expanding our brand. So we are starting a project of storytelling for Black women to elevate the voices of Black women. And one thing that we really wanted to showcase as we started thinking about what this next move would be is, you know, what is it that we can do through the power of storytelling? Because we didn't want to always tell our story, because after a while that kind of gets repetitive, right?
Right.
We wanted to say, like, you know, what can we bring to the forefront that Black women don't get a chance to talk about and be heard on as often as they should? So right. I'm really excited about that. We're calling it the Loveliness Project. One cool thing about the word loveliness, not only does it mean like beautiful or attractive, but by definition, it also means a group of ladybugs.
And, yes.
It's a swarm of ladybugs that is large enough on the weather radar system. The weather radar system picks it up as a storm. And right. I just thought that was a beautiful analogy. Like, imagine how large your tribe has to be for you to be as small as a ladybug, and all of y'all get together, and what a powerful force to become right. to then be picked up on the weather system as a storm. So we're
wow, you just said a mouthful. I love that.
Really cool. So we're calling our next kind of venture the Loveliness Project, and we're going to showcase and elevate the voices of Black women on different topics. And in return, we'll also be doing like learning and development virtual sessions on our webpage. And it's a really exciting time for our organization right now.
Oh my gosh. Like, I just absolutely love all of that you just said. I had no clue about that. And that is so cool. Like, how all of that just correlates and lines up with your 501c3, your purpose, your mission, everything that you're trying to do. Like, that is just super, super cool.
Thank you.
I love that. So tell the listeners how they can get connected with you.
Absolutely. So personally, I am on Facebook as Tatiana Tinsley Dorsey. On Instagram, my IG handle is @closer_2my_dream. So all together, closer to my dream. Business-wise, we can be found at the Ladybugs Official. And I also have a family page called @DiggingTheDorseys. On IG. My son, he's so amazing, but he was taking over my page, and I was like, you know what, son, you're gonna have a separate channel, because, you know, I got other stuff I gotta do and promote, and all I'm doing is taking pictures of you month to month. So
Oh my god,
you can find my home life and the things that I do just as a mom, as a wife, you know, as a sister and friend on that page. And I'm trying to spruce up my personal page to be more targeted towards what I do professionally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's so hard when you got a cutie pie.
It is.
You know, it's so hard because we got to share them, and they tend to take over our page, but that's all so good. So I have really enjoyed talking with you. This has been like so much fun. I am loving all that you're doing. I hope the listeners can get connected with you, see what your organization is about, you know, if they can help, donate, you know, whatever you got going on, just be involved in that, because I love, love, love when women, Black women, are just out here killing it. I just want everyone to support as much as possible.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on your platform. And make sure you guys go purchase the book. I think it drops on September 30th, the HBCU Experience, North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University, second edition.
Yes, and there will be a link to do so. Like, we need y'all to go get this book. Like, we're not playing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're not playing. We need this to be done. We need to support each other in those endeavors. Whether you went to an HBCU or not, it doesn't matter. You still need to support and purchase this book.
Absolutely.
Yes. So thanks so much for joining me again. We will definitely be talking again. We'll find some reason to talk, even if we got to bring Dylan Blake back on here and just talk about his little cute self. We'll find something.
Yes, absolutely. I'm looking forward to partnering with you in the future.
Definitely.
The LM Experience is an event management firm located in Houston, Texas. We're committed to a high level of execution for any type of event. From galas to workshops, we're sure to make your event an experience. Need assistance with your virtual event? We're here to help. Contact us for more information at www.thelmexperience.com. We don't just manage events, we execute experiences.
Thank you for tuning in to The Convo. I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to subscribe on Anchor or Apple Podcasts.